moved him up in the schedule because, well, that's how things have gone down here at Gillette. We'll get Tommy Curran back in at noon, but we don't need to really be paying attention to all the high knees and high kicks going on right now. So Tommy Curran is with Gretchen Fourier. Hello, Tommy. How are you?
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Christian. I love your vantage point up here.
Oh, yeah. We
get like to, it better than yours?
Yeah, we get to see everything. We don't get to say anything, though. That's the difference.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. The old rules still apply. There's a lot of rumblings about Brandon Ayuk. Can we just start with this quickly? Can we just answer this one? Are you pro or con trading the 2025 first-round pick for this player?
I have had a developing opinion that sometimes happens when you see something is crystallizing into reality. I have gone from fairly anti to now pro. The reason being, especially with the first-round pick, is this. If you look at 2018, you had two first-round picks. 2019, you had a first-round pick. 2021, you had a first-round pick. In 2022, you had a first-round pick in Cole Strange. None of them are going to get second contracts. You basically are going to be in a position here where, had N'Keal Harry worked out, you'd have to cough up this money anyway. In order to get a top-tier wide receiver who's established and you know what you're buying, you're going to invest the first-round pick of the money.
Oh, my God. We're Carolina. We're now trading. Well, now it's going to be, the number two pick could go to a team that might win a Super Bowl on top of it.
Gresh, here's the thing. I actually was thinking of this, too. This is Detroit Lions behavior in some ways when you take a project quarterback at three and then you trade a first-round pick for next year for a wide receiver and spend a ton of money on them. But that's where they are. They want to roll the dice. You have $78 million in cap space next year. Financially, it's okay. I would prefer him to Calvin Ridley. They chased Calvin Ridley all over, the countryside. Didn't get him. So,
but do you think it would require that to get the deal done? Do you think that the deals, if the framework is what we're hearing, that Cleveland and the Patriots and maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers, who know in and out, do you think that is part of the deal or needs to be part of the deal? That's what San Francisco wants.
Because it does come across that Elliott drives the hard bargain with the draft capital, as we saw in not trading out with the Giants and all that.
But I wonder if that was more. And this is where I think there could be some involvement from ownership here in saying, I felt as if in those comments made to Joe Schoen from the Giants, it felt as if it was a fait accompli. We're taking a quarterback at three, and it felt like with resignation. So that's going back a couple weeks to look at that.
So first round pick, do you think that's part of the deal? You think the Patriots possible top 10 pick, maybe top 5 pick is part of the deal?
They can't send him Amari Cooper, which Cleveland can. So Cleveland could send them Amari Cooper and give him a second. The Patriots are going to send them Kendrick Bourne, who would be a round or two lesser than, I think, Amari Cooper. So, as a result, you're going to have to ante up on the draft pick. So, I would not be surprised if it was a first. I don't know that it's a first. But it is hard to get your brain around it if you're a four-win team, Gresh, as you pointed out.
Well, and you just saw what Carolina did, too, where, they took their quarterback, but the number one pick went to another team because they jumped in with both feet in the pool and couldn't help themselves.
And they don't have the structure around it, but the difference being the Patriots already have the quarterback. They paid that price already, so to add this, look, if you take away the compensation, if you take away the $30 million, if you take away the first-round pick, and you look at what the array of talent that they'll put on the field and have under contract offensively, DeMario Douglas is a very good player. Mm-hmm. He could be a great player. Jalen Polk, all indications are he's going to be fine, more than fine. Hunter Henry's a top 12 tight end. Jalen Polk, to me, I already say Polk? Polk looks
Parker,
good.
Yeah.
Polk is, to me, has developed in a way that guys like Tyquan Thornton are not. K.J. Osborne's in the mix. Kayshon Boutte, every single day I watch him out here, he contributes. So they have an array of talent with Ramondre Stevenson. It just bothers me that you can have 4 or 5 years of tackle inefficiency and never really address it.
What about, what do you think, Brandon Ayuk, what would be, do you think, is it just money? Is it, system? Is it, location? Is it head coach? Like, if everything's equal, what do you think would be, you would need to for Brandon Ayuk to say, yes, I will play in New England?
If everything's equal, I think that his desire would be to go to a place that can win.
and it wouldn't be New England right away.
So you have to pay a mortgage.
Yeah, that's my point. So that's kind of where I'm at.
You have to pay the suck tax, and the suck tax might be to make him the highest paid wide receiver. And to me, A.J. Brown is – I love Tyreek Hill. He is, you know, a tremendous player, but I think A.J. Brown is more of a game-changing wide receiver in some ways in the way he can dominate. So to me – do you pay him more than A.J. Brown's $32 million a year? Is that the suck tax? You have to do that. He's not as good a player as A.J. Brown. But do you have to do that to get in that position?
I watched Elliott Wolf walk out onto the field and walk by Matt Judon, and there was no – like, for a couple of guys with Elliott, there was some hand slaps, and there was no interaction with Judon. I think it's Elliott down there talking to Jerod Mayo right now. Tommy, where do you think we stand – when it comes to Matt Judon and the Patriots?
I still think it's going to get resolved. I think that whatever Mayo said to him to get him to capitulate, it's a rare contract impasse in 2024 when you have a guy who's that pissed off about his contract actually has a reasonable case being made that the 6.5 is well below what he should be paid and is still taking part in practices. So to me, the Patriots have kind of quote-unquote won this past week with Matthew Judon. How do I see it playing out? He's already on record as saying, I'm going to play under the contract. What else do I have in terms of decisions or options? So to me, he'll be out there playing.
That's the guy you that's the guy you dangle to San Francisco. Hey, you want to
get less than a first.
Hey, you want to kick this trade up a little bit? You really want to get something for Ayuk? I'll send you a guy that, you know, you might have to give him a sweetener on a 2-year fake deal or whatever, but here's a guy who would come in and honestly fit what they do pretty seamlessly.
The interesting thing with them is, and certainly, but they have to then weigh what the Patriots are weighing.
Oh, of course,
32-year-old player coming on the
bicep. Can we make him happy? Do we just give him 1 year to shut him up and then move on? And, you know, the Niners are very interesting in terms of the way they turn over the roster. I just wonder if that's something that Elliott Wolf should say, hey, while we're talking, and just throw that out there. Because at this point, what's the, you know, I don't know how much Judon makes an impact on the bottom line, wins, losses, all that.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it, then that means that you are definitively going to figure out something with him. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the Patriots have made it clear, I think, to Judon's side that they don't want to trade him. I think they've made it clear, too, just from the reporting from Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area, is that it's Kendrick Bourne.
Right.
If it goes through. So, to me, they don't want to trade Judon. Judon says he doesn't want to leave. There's got to be a pathway to fixing it. If you have $40 million in cap space now, $78 million in cap space next year, you can do both. And
so what do you think the gap is? How big do you think the gap is between what Judon wants in his notes that he somehow couldn't remember yesterday and what the Patriots are willing? What do you think the sticking point is?
I would imagine he feels as if he should be paid $16 or $17 million this year.
Term-wise, like, we talk, what about years? Do you think that it's irrelevant?
From the reporting that we've done, the pathway is there for a 1 year.
Yeah. Make him whole this year. Go about your business next year.
Right.
Okay. And then everybody's happy. Right? His contract is over. Maybe there's an option, something like that. But it's all about making him happier just for this 1 year.
Yeah. It is really interesting, too, when we talk about all these changes and the different decisions that are being made financially in the draft, et cetera, how much differently would Bill have done it? Because Bill was, you know, aligning for, okay, I'm going to have a crap ton of cap space. Certainly, if he had the third overall pick, I wonder what things he would have done differently than what they're doing now.
What do you think he would have done? Because last year he gave him the fake, hey, I'm just going to give you the money that you were going to earn this year. He gave it to him up front and then left this year kind of up in no man's land. Do you think he would have just said capitulated? Do you think he would have just let him walk out, roll out, and lay on tackling dummies?
I think it might have gotten done prior to this with that much cap space and understanding that Bill, for that position, had he had more than four wins, and was still in a position where he probably missed the playoffs.
It's one of his signings, though, so he would have been invested, I think, in doing something.
Yeah, and he would have felt as if, look, I'm coaching for my time here. I'm coaching for my job here. I need to have everybody on board, and I love Judon. I'm going to re-sign him. So I wonder how many of the re-signings would have taken place with the Duggars. On Wenu's,
Henry's.
Stevenson. Lines have been drawn on the same.
Being on 1-1 would have been tough. I could see that. Being on 1-1 would have been the tough. I think the other ones you could at least – there's a landing area there that I think Bill could have settled on.
I think
no
he has.
Question.
He always had a hard time, I think, getting over the fact, look, you were a sixth-round pick. We brought you in. You've been making $800,000.
Yeah.
I don't see you as a
take
guy.
Take your $15 million and be happy type thing.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to spitball on what would it have looked like. Would he do an Aiyuk deal? Because obviously we know that through the years, most of his best wide receiver pickups, virtually all of his best wide receiver pickups, were done through trades. So
and Antonio Brown, but that blew up for another reason. So that would have been big if that guy could have kept it together. But
so who do you think has looked the best so far? Like, who? If you were going to pick your top three guys, this I'll cap it at three.
Hey, it's the Tom Curran camp standout.
I would say that Brissett has exceeded
your expectations.
Yeah, in terms
based on play or attitude?
Based on play. I mean, he has more than enough arm strength. Any questions about whether or not it was going to be a pop gun offense and it was just going to be handing off? He is not speedy. I don't think he accelerates. That's the difference between, look, if you had Drake May and Jacoby Brissett run a 40, it might be close, but I think that it takes longer for Brissett to get the engine moving. So he's not quick like I think May is, but the arm strength is, it does not stand out as being
a problem.
Drastically less than May's, for instance.
All right.
So he stands out. DeMario Douglas changed the entire geometry when he got back on the field last week, and immediately the offense went from stagnant to now you're seeing guys open down the field. I think he changed everything. And then defensively, I think Keon White's been
He's our favorite.
I think everybody is starting to fall in love with that guy a little bit.
Yeah, we're trying to find a nickname for him.
And he's like no nonsense. Like we kind of joked around that he looks like the kind of guy that if you were in the parking lot and you said something a little sideways, that he'd look and pause for a second and give you a chance to decide whether you wanted
take
to it say
back.
It a second time.
Take it back.
And then he would goozle the hell out of you and just bring you to your knees.
Yeah, I think I would take one glance at him and not say anything in the first place.
I think a lot of people would look at that. He is a stoic dude. Like, that's the way I would do it. Like, you look at him and you're like, I don't know what you're thinking.
He's hard to read sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of when he was coming out of college, that was part of the reason, I think, not the reason that he, but the Patriots had him ticketed as a first-round pick. They may well have taken him had Gonzalez not been there at 17.
Wow.
So, but a lot of it was, well, he's kind of, you know, sits there like Buddha. You can't tell what he's thinking. He is a different guy in terms of the way he presents himself, which I think is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm kind of tired of
I love it.
Everybody do the same thing, say the same thing, do the same Instagram crap, and, you know, dances, whatever. It's just, I don't mind a guy who's just showing up, doing his job, and trying to get better every day.
Now, the rain has started once again, and a lot of ball handling drills. Tommy, what are your, I'm curious for your just kind of thoughts on special teams. I know we have the new kickoff rule. It feels like this year there is a relevancy to preseason because of some of these special teams changes. Do you think that applies or it's all much ado about nothing and it'll be an easy transition?
I'm going to tack Jalen Polk into the players that have impressed me too. I think it will be a very interesting transition because it's like, you know, it's a test tube. The whole preseason is going to be a test tube. How do we want to do this? And Sean Payton had an interesting comment the other day that, you know, it's a little confusing with the different, if you hit it in the box and rolls into the end zone, then it comes out to this spot. If it goes into the end zone, it comes out to this spot. It might still be tweaked and simplified so there's only two different spots where it gets spotted afterwards. And I think that the league should look at it because it can be an exciting play, but you have to make it more dissuading than bringing it out to the 30 if you kick it into the end zone. Should be the 35. So I'll be interested to see how the Patriots operate with it. I'll be interested to see who and what they do on Thursday. I was interested to hear Mayo say that all four quarterbacks will play.
Well, that's the plan.
The plan.
Yeah, but it's so crazy. Like, and I respect him for saying that because Brissett can go out there the first three periods. He can be three now, three now, three now.
Yep.
Nine plays. But now it's the second quarter. You know, like, holy crap, well, I got to get May in there. And what does Brissett need? Do you think that, based on the way the competition has gone right now, that he has to lean to giving Brissett more reps to get him ready? And how do you kind of balance that between what Drake May needs and what you need to ultimately give your starter to get him ready.
Well, I think what's great is Brissett's performance so far in the last week especially has made it so that, okay, he's in a good spot. Let's give him
okay, so you don't worry about it as much in no. game day. Next week you have joint practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And I think it's just one.
Is it
yeah, I think it's one against
yeah.
Philly next
one
Tuesday,
practice,
right?
So
yeah.
it's not two. But give May a whole crap ton in the exhibition. Exhibition, who calls it that anymore? The preseason game, and then, you know, next week maybe 50-50 it or give May most of the game. And let Brissett, you know, they have options, but to me, Brissett is so far ahead and they've so much, I believe, concluded. This was the period of time where May had to make a run, I think, between
massive
the
uptick.
Oh, yeah. Beginning of camp and now.
Yeah.
To have,
this was the time for him to steal the gig.
Yeah, to have a realistic opportunity. And I think as we've seen some of his opportunities with the first offensive line reduced, they've said, okay, well, if we wanted to see more of how high his ceiling is right now, we would put him out there with them. I think perhaps what I'm deducing is the conclusion is, not there yet. So we'll get Jacoby reps.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. We got to run.
Oh, I know. Does it worry that there's no fights?
No, I was surprised there was no fight yesterday when Hunter Henry got thrown to the ground by a guy, a safety named Del Pettis, who jumped on his back and just threw him down.
At the team period, right?
That was bizarro. Like, that was excessive.
I guess it doesn't matter. Sometimes I go, okay, maybe that shows you what type of edge they have.
Yeah, but he's locked up. It wasn't like a hit on somebody in the course.
That's my point, so no fights.
No one
you go into anybody's defense.
It is. You know what else I'm noticing, too? When Drake May runs onto the field, no one's reacting. No fans.
No one cheers for him. No one's excited to see
him. There's no reaction that the savior is here.
Massachusetts is a new show me state. They want to see something out of this. They want to see something out of
it.
Here we go.
Tommy, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Are you appropriately weathered up, or
yes,
or are you just going under the tent?
I got my golf jacket. I got my my parasol. I'm good to go.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to sashay around town square? Might as well use the Seinfeld line if you have that. Well, you put on your sundress and your parasol and sashay away around town square.
Say, tut-tut, it looks like rain.
My boomba shoot. All right.
Tommy, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.